All right. Well, tonight we're continuing on our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is the sixth week on the series, and we've been talking about the different fruit of the Spirit over the last 5 weeks, and tonight we're going to continue that. You know, in the natural realm, I've been giving this illustration over the last weeks. In the natural realm, let's say you live out on a farm away from some type of fruit that you want. Let's say it's plums, but you've got some plum seeds. You take those plum seeds and plant them in the ground, right? And it produces a plum tree, giving you the fruit called plums, correct? You nurture that seed. And it's the same way in our spiritual walk with Almighty God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the seed of the Spirit of Christ was planted in the soil of your heart, of my heart. And as you nurture that seed, that relationship with Jesus, the natural result should be the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life. How do you nurture that relationship with Jesus? By associating, by fellowshipping with other Christians, by reading the Word, by praying to Jesus. You nurture that relationship, and the fruit of the Spirit should result in your life. Last week, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Now, self-control is having mastery or dominion over yourself. It's the opposite of self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is this. When you have a thought or a desire, you jump wholeheartedly into that thought, into that desire, without any control. That's self-indulgence. Self-control is the opposite. It's restraining yourself. And we talked about self-control in several different areas. We talked about self-control over the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Some people like to say everything that comes to their mind. They've got no self-control when it comes to the mouth. But wisdom, discretion says, watch the words that you speak. Self-control over the eyes. You know, looking at something or someone you should not be looking at. If you look at something you're not supposed to be looking at, you can start thinking wrong thoughts. So what do? At that point, you shift your eyes. You turn away and look at something else. Controlling the eyes. Controlling the hands. Some people, when they get upset, they blow their top, they start swinging their fists, they've got no self-control over their body, their hands, and they start hitting someone or something. So self-control over the body. And then we talked about self-control over our emotions. The emotion of anger. The Word of God says in Proverbs that a fool gives full vent to his wrath, to his anger. But a wise man keeps himself under control. Not getting angry and blowing your top at every little thing that you don't agree with. Having self-restraint. And then we talked about, finally, how to improve in this fruit of the Spirit called self-control. How do you do that? Remember, what you practice is what you perfect. So how do you perfect self-control? By shifting your focus off of yourself. If you shift your focus off yourself and to serving God and serving others, guess what? Self gets smaller and smaller. When you starve self of its selfish desires, it starts to kind of disappear out of your life. When others become more important, when God becomes most important in your life, then you're perfecting this fruit called self-control. But if you're giving in to every selfish desire that comes to mind, you're strengthening what? Self-indulgence, a lack of self-control. Well, tonight, I want to talk about the eighth fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. And this is what Paul the Apostle writes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. This is from the NIV. And self-control. Gentleness is the eighth fruit of the Spirit that he lists. Now, the King James Version translates this word gentleness as meekness. And you might be asking tonight, well, what does meekness mean? Let's not confuse meekness with weakness, okay? A person who is meek, a person who is gentle, is not weak. Actually, they're very strong because they've got control over their spirit. The word meek from the original New Testament language means this. It means gentle, enduring all things with an even temper, tender, free from haughty self-sufficiency, tender-spirited, tenderness in bearing with others. Now, I did a little more research on this word, and I looked up the Amplified Bible. And by this word, gentleness, in the Amplified Bible, it has in parentheses two words, meekness and humility. Meekness and humility. Basically, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this, that the basis and the foundation of meekness, of gentleness, is what? The foundation of meekness, this eighth fruit of the Spirit, is humility. Humility is an attitude of not seeing oneself higher than he ought to, than she ought to. Now, the opposite of humility is pride. You know, when I think of pride, I think of a male peacock. And just recently, actually, to be honest with you, today I kind of looked up peacocks on the internet. And it's male peacocks that have those beautiful colored feathers. And what do they do? They kind of spread those feathers out, and they kind of strut about somewhat haughtily. To do what? To attract a female. And they just got that kind of a haughty strut, just kind of walking around with their feathers open wide, colored feathers, trying to take that female in, right? So when I think of pride, I think of this male peacock. Well, the sin of pride began back where? It began back in the Garden of Eden. Or even before that, some say. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Remember, God said to man, you can eat of any fruit in the garden, but the fruit I don't want you eating of is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And so the tempter comes about to the woman. And this is what he says. Verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye and for gaining wisdom, she took and she ate. Pride was rooted, it was based in the temptation to be like what? To be like God. A prideful person thinks, God, I don't need you. I'm a God to myself. My life is my own to control. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. I want to say with my life what I want to say with it. They are gods unto themselves, those who are not Christians, those who are full of pride. Pride has an attitude of superiority above others. Prideful people, those in the world, to them, self is number one. Anything anybody may do to inconvenience self causes this type of person to blow his top, to lose his temper, and to lash out with anger and maybe violence. On the other hand, the meek person realizes there's only one true and living God, and that is whom? That is Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth. He realizes that God is the potter and that he is the clay. Self is small in the eyes of the meek person. For the meek person, self bows in submission to God and prefers what is better for the other person that he is dealing with. Let me say that again. For the meek person bows in submission to God and prefers what is better for the other person that he's interacting with. Does that make sense tonight? Yes. All right. Now, I want to talk about the perfect model, the perfect hero of meekness. And the only one that I can think of and know for sure is Jesus Christ, God the Son. He demonstrated his meekness in several different ways, and tonight I want to discuss those. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was doing what for 40 days and 40 nights? He was fasting. Could you imagine how hungry he must have been in the wilderness at his weakest point? Now, friends, let me tell you something. I have fasted for like 2 or 3 days in the past. And let me tell you, man, it was really, really tough. My stomach was telling me, you need something to eat. My body became extremely weak. I couldn't imagine doing it 40 days and 40 nights. So Jesus, in his humanity, was at his weakest point. And the tempter, the devil, came to him at his weakest point. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And how did Jesus respond? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil left him, and the angels attended Jesus. Now, when the tempter came to Jesus and tempted him in these ways, Jesus was at his weakest. Did Jesus yell and scream? He didn't yell and scream, right? How did he respond? He quoted the word of God with an even temper. Gently. Right? And that's the same way we're to respond when somebody irritates us. When the enemy through somebody is trying to frustrate us. Just quote the word of God with an even temper. That's a spirit. That's an attitude of meekness. That's demonstrating the fruit of the spirit called meekness. Remember, Jesus in John 14:31, he said this. He said, I am in full submission to the Father. Whatever the Father does, that's exactly what I do. And he said in John 12:50, whatever the Father says for me to say, that's what I say. So Jesus did and said exactly what the Father told him to say and to do. Amen? That was one of the other ways that Jesus demonstrated his meekness, his submission to God the Father. The other way that Jesus demonstrated his meekness, his submission to God, was this. Remember, right before the crucifixion and right during the crucifixion, what happened to Jesus? The Roman soldiers mocked him, right? The Jewish leaders were insulting him. Those crucified on either side of Jesus were heaping insults upon him. Did Jesus call down 12 legions of angels to strike them dead? No, he didn't respond that way with pride. Absolutely not. He responded with meekness. In meekness, he prayed to the Father to forgive them because they knew not what they were doing. Remember that? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus could have struck them down with 12 legions of angels, but he did not respond that way. Jesus is the perfect model of meekness. Now, the Word of God says this, that if we claim to live in Christ, we must walk as Christ walked. The walk of Christ was a walk of what? Was a walk of meekness. It was a walk of responding to his accusers with an even temper. It was a walk of being completely dead to himself and alive to God. being fully submitted to God the Father. And if Jesus responded with meekness in difficult situations, if He did it, we also should try to do the same. Remember, WWJD, what would Jesus do in a situation? He would respond with meekness, with humility. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about how to practice meekness while interacting with others. How do you practice this fruit of the Spirit called meekness in your relationship with others? Number one, keeping an even temper. As the song says, have you been lied to, maybe mistreated, or taken for granted? Pride says what? Pride says, strike back with anger. Strike back with loud or harsh words. But what does meekness say? If you've been lied to, mistreated, taken for granted, what does meekness say to do? It says to respond back with forgiveness. To respond back to that person with gentle and well-chosen words. Let me give you a personal illustration. Earlier this year, I had a guy do some repairs at my place. He did the repair, and several days later, the repair that he did needed some repair. So I called him up, and I said, hey, man, this is Jonathan. I just wanted to let you know that you repaired such and such in my place, and it's needing repair again. And I called him once, and I called him twice. And I never heard back from him, because I paid him, and I also tipped him after he repaired it the first time. So I expected him to come back and fix what was broken. But he never called me back, never showed up. So basically, somebody else ended up doing the repair for me, fixing his repair. And basically, I could have responded with what? With pride. I could have said, you know what, bro? If you want to grow your business, you have got to guarantee your work. You're never going to grow your business if you don't respond to people's calls. I could have responded that way in anger. But instead, I called him back, and I tried to respond in meekness and just called him back and said, just wanted to let you know I got the thing fixed. And if I need your help in the future, I will let you know. So I tried to respond with meekness. And friends, there's going to be areas in your life where people will do things, will say things to irritate you, to upset you, to frustrate you. How will you respond? In pride or with meekness? Say it with me tonight. I will respond to those who frustrate me with meekness, with humility, preferring them over me, preferring their good over what I want, in Jesus' name. All right, how to practice meekness while interacting with others. All right, one of the ways we can do this is by being patiently submitted in three different areas. Number one, to the staff here at the Salvation Army. Patiently submitted to them, meekly submitted to them. I know that they want you guys, you know, in your rooms at a certain time every night. And that may frustrate you. You might be thinking to yourself, man, I've got this curfew every single night and it frustrates me. Instead of getting frustrated, respond with meekness, with a kind yes. I'll be in my room at such and such a time. The other person you need to respond meekly to or be patiently submitted to is your employer, the person you work for. Now, if your boss asks you to stay an extra hour at the end of the day, will you respond in frustration? Like, no, I've got this movie to watch. I've got this show to watch. I can't stay an extra hour. Or will you respond with a gentle, sure, boss, that's okay. That's how meekness would respond. And finally, and most important, responding patiently, being patiently submitted in your relationship to God. Let me mention something tonight. God may ask you to do or say something that may take you out of your comfort zone. Will you be like Jonah and disobey? Remember what God said to Jonah. He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach repentance to it. How did Jonah respond? with pride and disobedience. He's like, no, God, I'm going my own way. I'm going to Tarshish. So he went to Tarshish. And guess where he ended up? He ended up in the belly of a whale. So my question to you tonight is this. If God asks you to say or to do something that kind of takes you out of your comfort zone, will you be like Jonah and disobey in pride? You might end up in the belly of the whale. Or will you say gently, with meekness, with humility, yes, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. How will you respond? Say, I will respond to what God asked me to do with meekness, humility, and obedience, even if it takes me out of my comfort zone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for the next couple of minutes, I'd like to talk about the benefits of practicing meekness in relationship to others. Look at Matthew 5, 5. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed or happy are the meek, those who are humble, those who are lowly in spirit, those who have an even and gentle temper, for they will inherit the earth. Now, as I was studying this today from a commentator, Matthew Henry, I could see this word earth in two different ways. They will inherit which earth? The earth that you live in right here and now, this earth. You will inherit some of the good things that this life has to offer. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, how do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? God, I want to advance your kingdom. God, I am seeking your kingdom. God, I am seeking to live righteously like you are righteous. How do you seek the kingdom of God? In meekness, in humility, putting yourself aside. So as you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness with an attitude of meekness and humility, all of these things will be added unto you. The things that you need, clothing, food, shelter, as well as some of the things that you want. Like maybe a better vehicle. Maybe a better place to live. So if you're meek in relationship to God, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You will inherit some of the better things of this earth. Health. More finances. Amen? A better place to live. A better vehicle to drive. God is looking out for your best. And then, most important, you will inherit the most perfect earth to come, which is what? Heaven. To be with God and Jesus forevermore one day. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, this earth, some of the good things that this earth has to offer, and most important, that earth up there, if you would, heaven itself. The second benefit of practicing meekness in your relationship with others is this. It's promotion. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 7, this is what Jesus says. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. Verse 9, if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Pride comes before a fall, right? But he who humbles himself will be exalted. So if you humble yourself in meekness before God, He will exalt you in due time. Amen. Now, in my own life, back in 2002, early 2002, I felt that God was wanting me to start this home Bible fellowship, this cell group at my house for young adults. And after the group, we did outreach on the streets of Tulsa. And I did it faithfully for 3 years. I had, on average, between 12 to 15 people meeting in my house on a weekly basis. I was faithful with that. And I believe that after that, after I transitioned out of that, because I was kind of out of the age range at that point, it's like God promoted me to minister to you guys. This is a promotion to me. I'm ministering to more people at once. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you. So as you humble yourself, if you're meek before God, He will exalt you in due time, in your job, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your business, in whatever He has called you to do. Humbling yourself. If you humble yourself, if you walk with this attitude of meekness, you will be promoted. And finally, the final benefit of practicing meekness is this, is rest. Let's turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is what Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The King James Version says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn from me. What yoke is he talking about? In Matthew 11, 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from my example. He's talking about the yoke of meekness and humility. Taking his yoke upon yourself. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Obviously, if we're going to learn from him in context, he's telling us to take on his attitude of meekness and humility. Now, pride drives a person to use human strength, human intelligence, and human resources to achieve a personal goal in order to glorify who? In order to glorify self. This will cause a person to do what? It will cause a person to overwork and become tired. On the other hand, meekness rests in God's power. Meekness rests in the wisdom of God. It rests in God's resources to do what God says to do in order to glorify who? In order to glorify Him. Amen? So a person who is meek is resting fully, depending fully upon God, upon God's wisdom, upon God's strength, upon God's resources. And when you rest in God in faith, you can rest. You won't be weary because guess what? God has got your back. Amen? And so practicing this fruit of the Spirit called meekness will bring rest and peace on the inside of you. Because you're like, you know what? I'm not going to try to do my own thing with my own strength and overwork and become tired. I'm going to do God's thing with His strength to bring Him glory. And when you do that, there is a supernatural rest that enters you on the inside. All right. Finally, how to improve in this area of meekness, of gentleness. You know, when somebody is inspired by a wrong spirit and in anger maybe, lashes out at you. Maybe they're inspired by like an evil spirit and they say something to demean you. How do you respond? Respond with the Word of God like Jesus did in Matthew 4 when He was tempted. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, you'll never amount to anything. You came from a bad family. You came from drug abuse. You'll never amount to anything in your life. How do you respond? Do you lash out with anger and try to retaliate and get back at them? No, right? How do you respond? Respond using the Word of God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. And finally, getting your eyes off yourself. Getting your eyes off yourself and focusing on submission to God and how you can prefer and protect the person who has insulted you. If you're so focused on yourself, you know, and somebody says or does something, if a situation does something to get you upset, you're going to lash out and lose control. But if your focus is off yourself and you focus on God, worshiping God, and preferring and protecting the other person, you will respond with gentleness. So basically, it comes down to dying to self. To selfish desires and saying, God, your will be done in my life. God, I'm here to advance your kingdom. God, I'm here to help others. God, I'm here to prefer others, to work for their good, to protect them. And when your focus has shifted off you, and onto God and others, self starts to become smaller and smaller, and you walk in this fruit of the Spirit called meekness and humility. And God will do great things with your life. Amen.